Good morning, church. I'm Lane McDonough, as some of you already know, I guess. And I'm the team lead for the outreach team here, and I'm also on the search committee, our Dream Catchers. So I welcome you to worship this morning at First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Welcome this morning to our climate-controlled sanctuary. Unfortunately, the climate's only controlled in the winter. I extend a particular welcome this day to all who are joining us virtually through our live stream or recorded worship. Though we worship in separate places, we are joined as one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, this community of faith greets you with a warm welcome and a cool bottle of water. Hydrate. We welcome David Coulter to the pulpit this morning. David is a member of FCC and a recently retired doctor of child psychiatry. David is also the unofficial poet laureate of First Congregational Church. We also welcome Rob Humphreyville this morning to the organ. Rob has been with us many times before, and it is always a joy to have him share his music with us. And although you might not be able to tell from his music, Rob is a very funny guy. We invite you to have a candle ready to light with us when I light the Christ candle after the announcements. Prayer requests can be emailed to us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, or you can write your prayer request or celebration on a card in the pew and give it to an usher. Post-fellowship worship. People at home may join us via Zoom, and the very long URL is there. Or in person downstairs, where it's much cooler, for coffee hour in the vestry. So let us begin worship by lighting the Christ candle. We light this candle to both invite and proclaim the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst, and as a reminder that Christ asks us to be light of the world.
Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Children of God, welcome. Welcome to this place of love and grace. Welcome to this place of hope and perseverance. God invites us all of us to be part of the beloved community. God invites all of us to share in the good news. Welcome as we are. We are loved just as we are. In gratitude for all of this, let us worship God. Please rise in body or spirit for hymn number 238.
Thank you.
Please join me with the opening prayer as we say together, Gracious God, make each of us an instrument of your grace. Weave us into a community showing forth your love and tenderness. Bless us and our differences, and undergird our courage to stand together. Death's love, lead us to better know you and glorify you on each step of the journey of our lives. Amen. When we offer God our confession, we join the beautiful work of reconciliation, which begins with our own reconciling with God. Trusting in our partner in grace, let us make our confession praying. God of tender mercies, we admit that sometimes we don't know what to do with ourselves. We anger at the slightest insult and imagine great vengeance upon those who wronged us. We laze about in the good news of our faith and do not consider the deep commitment it requires. We care for ourselves, but not for others. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive us. Help us to repent and make us whole. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. The love of God is beyond measure, and yet you are included in that love. Know that you are forgiven, and thus freed to love and serve. Let us now share in the peace of Christ. I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out your hands in a gesture of blessing, or placing your hands over your hearts, or offering the word namaste, which is a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me honors the divine in you. Whatever you feel comfortable with and what your neighbor feels comfortable with, wish each other peace. The peace of Christ be with you. Peace.
And whatever children are here are welcome to go to godly play in the tent. We have the tools we need to love one another through our talents, treasures, and time. We can create God's commonwealth here on earth. Our contributions, no matter the size, will craft a world which reflects God's love. This morning's offering will now be received. There are usually baskets here in the corner, in the back, or online. Thank you. Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving as we say together, as we offer our treasure and hearts to you, O God, may they be used to pass on the promise of hope, peace, life, and community to all in need of your gifts and presence in their lives. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture reading today comes from the book of Psalms and the Gospel of Matthew. Beginning with Psalm 138, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing all the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And continuing with Matthew 5, verses 3 to 12, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here ends the reading for today. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, my friends. I want to send a special good morning and welcome to my wife, Mary, who is in her hospital bed on her iPad live streaming the service. So, hi, Mary. It is a hot day here. We are told that relief is coming, so they say. Our first scripture reading this morning was provided by the lectionary. The lectionary basically tells us what scripture readings we're supposed to use. So it was provided by the lectionary for today. Psalm 138 that Janine just read is supposedly, according to the I use Bible Gateway, is of David. I mean, supposedly it was written by biblical King David. Of course, that's whom I'm named after, so I have a certain affection for it. And as you heard, David starts the psalm by singing the praises of God in the first half of the psalm. But then he adds toward the end, he says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. You can almost feel a little bit of the uncertainty that David must have been living with. On the one hand, you know, complete faith in God. We heard that at the beginning of the psalm. But on the other hand, he sensed that God might abandon the work of his hands. meaning abandon David himself, and perhaps by extension, abandon all of God's creation. Do not abandon the work of your hands. In our own time today, we can perhaps share the faith that David had in God's protection, but also wonder if climate relief is really coming, or whether God will finally abandon his planet, which is indeed the work of God's hands. So David's trust in God must also be ours. Tomorrow will be a better day. That's what the weatherman says. Guest preachers in the congregational tradition are afforded what is called the autonomy of the pulpit, which means that the reflections are freely given for consideration by the congregation. So I asked to include the second reading, which the familiar Beatitudes, as a way to reflect on what it means to be good, much like the biblical King David might have done. If you know your Bible history, you know King David was no saint in his personal life. But we also know his name means beloved, as in beloved community, as in beloved by God. So the Bible tells us that, yeah, David tried to be good, but sometimes fell short, which may be why his life story still resonates and is so relevant to all of us and all the generations that have come since. So let's think about why we should be good. That's really what I want to focus on. You may remember I had the opportunity to give a reflection about 2 months ago, and in preparing for that, our interim pastor, Reverend Andy Burr, said that I should be able to summarize what I want to say in a single sentence. I like to say it up front. The message I'm going to try to describe today in this reflection is that doing good brings joy when the soul is united with the Spirit of God. There are many reasons to be good. Christian teaching says doing good in this life will ensure rewards in the next life. At the second coming, God will divide the good from the bad, welcome good people into heaven, and send the bad people to hell. For example, familiar passage from Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 20, 11 through 15. It writes, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged for what was written in the books, according to what they had done." If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The book of Revelation was, we know it was a product of, there's a common prophetic tradition at the time, in the first century after Christ, using visual images more so than prophetic words. But the message, I think, is clear. The message of the book of Revelation in that passage I just read is clear. Do good now in this life or suffer eternal damnation afterwards. So, you know, doing good then is sort of like scoring points on a test of moral rectitude. If you get an A on the test, you'll be rewarded. You'll have earned your way into heaven. Or it'll boost your spiritual credit rating into the excellent range. The idea is that the more good you do now, the more points you earn, and the higher your standing will be with God when you die. The Archangel Michael will greet you at the pearly gates, scan your list of lifetime activities, and determine if you're worthy of heaven. But let's go back and think again about the Beatitudes. I think there may be a, I think there's something in there that will help us move forward. Jesus provides a lot of blessings. He blesses the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Maybe the kingdom of heaven now. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted now. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, not the afterlife. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So there's a lot of blessings here that are meant for us, not after we die, but in this life. So I think the point maybe that I'm the point I'm trying to make, I think the point that comes through in the Beatitudes is that the kingdom of God is within us. When I gave the reflection 2 months ago, that was my theme, that the kingdom of God is within us. So I think part of the reward that Jesus is talking about, the blessings that he is conferring on us, are describing blessings that occur to us in this life, not necessarily after we die. So let's develop that. Those who reject the concept of heavenly rewards do not always provide any other reason to be good. People, what I would call warriors for justice, justify actions which are not good because it will achieve a more utilitarian goal of greater benefits for more people. Maybe that's what Judas Iscariot thought he was doing. Immanuel Kant famously argued that the end does not justify the means, and people should never be used as means to an end. So I think we need to find a better reason to be good. One may well ask whether being good is even a natural thing for humans to do. The primary precept of natural law theory, according to Thomas Aquinas, is that good is to be pursued and evil is to be avoided. But the anthropologists question whether humans are really capable of doing good for its own sake, which is what we describe as true altruism. Altruism is sometimes defined as the practice of disinterested and practical concern for the welfare of others, even at the risk of causing problems for oneself. They also suggest altruism essentially does serve the interests of the individual by rewarding the person's self-image or providing the person with a sense of self-worth. So, in that sense, from doing good may be natural for human beings, but not necessarily altruistic. Doing good is really a way of behaving well in human society. Little digression. John Calvin, who was probably the founder of our tradition, in a sense, concept of predestination, argued that some people were predestined to get into heaven and some were not. And there was nothing any one of us could do to change our destiny. Those who were predestined for heaven might do good works because it reflected the fact that they had been chosen, but it wouldn't change their destiny, which had already been determined by God. And those who were not predestined could do all the good works that they want, but it wouldn't change their destiny either. Martin Luther argued that people are saved through faith alone, not by good works alone. In other words, good works, doing good, is a manifestation of true faith, but good works, or doing good by itself, is not a sufficient reason or requirement for salvation. So, once again, why be good? I think an answer might be found when we rethink the whole idea of trying to get into heaven and not go to hell. Faced with the manifestly unjust world that we live in, social groups look for an external source of justice. So if justice can't be found in this life, perhaps it can be found in the next life. I know this is true, that some victims of evil behavior by others have found solace in knowing that the one who hurt them, who harmed them, will burn in hell forever. That does provide some solace to those who are in that situation. So in some way, we need the prospect of those bad people eventually going to hell, also in order to avoid doing evil ourselves. Perhaps we need the idea of hell to encourage us to behave as responsible citizens and members of society. But there is, of course, no scientific evidence for the existence of hell, nor could there be. You know, anthropologists describe how every human society has had a concept of life after death, but the descriptions vary tremendously. Many societies, most societies, made rules that people had to follow during life in order for them to do well after death. Some rules also involved specific funeral practices that would ensure that the deceased person would thrive after death. If you violated those rules, that could result in something bad, like hell. So it's, again, a natural human tradition to think about those kind of things. One possible way to explore that, one possible resource, is provided by people who have had what are called near-death experiences, something I've been interested in that for a long time. And in reading about it, people have near-death experiences after life-threatening conditions, and then they recover. Many, I would say most, certainly not all, people who return from those conditions, who have had a near-death experience, many of them describe a mostly peaceful and positive experience. Very few describe an experience like going to hell, although, quite honestly, some do. It seems counterintuitive to suggest that only good people have near-death experiences. It seems more likely that whatever happens after death to people who may or may not have been good in life is not necessarily what we think of as heaven or hell. So, if there's no hell, what then is heaven? If there's no dichotomy of life after death, no eternal judgment dividing people into those who did good in their mortal life versus those who did not, then does everybody basically go to the same place? Obviously, you can't know the answer. Perhaps, as it occurred to me, that perhaps going to heaven is like returning to the Garden of Eden. Perhaps the description of the Garden of Eden in Genesis is something like what heaven might be like, a place where we would be in the presence of God. So, maybe heaven is something that we can experience during life and not just after death. If heaven is being in the presence of God, then maybe we can try to allow God into our lives while we are still alive. Adam and Eve were in the presence of God in the Garden of Eden while they were alive, which I suspect is pretty much what heaven might be like. Our goal, then, is to bring heaven into our mortal lives here on earth by welcoming the presence of God into our immortal souls. We do this not by expressing mere piety, but by doing what God asks and expects of us, which is to do good for God's sake. We do not need to wait for a reward after we die, a judgment that sends good people one way and bad people the other way. Our reward in this life is the experience of joy. Joy is not the same as pleasure. Pleasure comes from the senses of the body. Well, joy, I would argue, comes from the union of the soul with the Spirit of God. So let's go back to the psalm. This is Psalm 138. David was, as we all know, a shepherd boy, anointed by God, became probably the first really great layman in the Bible. Most of the rest of them were all prophets, but David was a layman. He was not a prophet. In fact, he had a relationship with the prophet Nathan, and Nathan condemned him seriously because of the sins that he committed, especially adultery. So David has his faults. He was a warrior king, to say the least. But as the psalm demonstrates, he never stopped praising God. So I would like to conclude this reflection then by suggesting that, like my biblical namesake, King David, doing good is the way we give praise to God for all that God has done for us. And knowing that the kingdom of God is within us, doing good, thus also brings joy into our lives. So this is it. The reason to be good, the reason to be good, the reason to do good is to experience that joy in our everyday lives, like that which David knew. And to know that in spite of all of our two human flaws, like the king, King David, if we praise and trust in God, God will always provide what we need. Doing good then becomes a way of bringing joy into our lives. It is not merely altruistic because we do benefit from it, but like the love that is given freely and is returned with even more love, doing good is given freely for God's sake and is returned with the experience of joy that may indeed be like heaven on earth. Thank you. Amen, I guess I should say.
Thank you, David. Let us now gather in prayer. I'll direct your attention to the prayer list in the bulletin. Please keep all of those listed in your prayers. We also pray for the people of Ukraine and Russia, other countries, refugees, especially that grain deal. Hopefully it will go through. Are there any prayers or concerns? Nothing from the intranet? Anything here? Everyone's waving. Hi, hi, hi. Okay. So, let us pray. Oh. So Miriam asked for blessings and support and celebration. She's traveling to the border next week, this week?
End of the week
to support and some of the work that's being done down there by some Andover Newton graduates and assess what's going on and to spare some folks, give them a break from their work so that they can get some rest and rejuvenate. So we pray for Miriam and her mission to the border. Yes, let's take a moment of silent prayer for her mission. Any other joys or concerns? So let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you with humble and grateful hearts this day. You have blessed us beyond measure. In return, you ask us to live out your love, peace, and justice in the world. Show us your way and give us the strength we need to be the good in the world and to do good. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors.
us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please rise in body or spirit for the singing of hymn number 448. Please be seated. Before I send us off with a benediction, I'd like to bring you some good news. I know you probably haven't seen this, but they've been tracking the number of runs that the Red Sox have been giving up the last couple games, and it correlates really well with our temperatures recently. And you'll be saying, Lane, you know, they haven't been giving up 95 runs. But if you convert to Celsius. And the good news is that last night they only gave up 4 runs. So I think there's some relief coming. So join me in some more Beatitudes from Steve Garnes Holmes for our parting. Blessed are you who are powerless, for love is a true power. Blessed are you who are depressed, for the beloved holds you. Blessed are you who weep for justice, for God will establish it. Blessed are you who love in the face of hate, for you are vessels of God. Blessed are you who look for God in unlikely places, for you will see God. Blessed are you who are a healing presence, for you shall be healed. Blessed are you when people try to silence you, for you are in the company of saints and prophets. Blessed are you no matter what, for grace will never be denied you, never. Go in peace and hydrate. Amen.